Episode 1. Today marks the beginning of my 20th annual mini-series dedicated to the Catholic Church's beautiful teaching on the dignity of every human life. For the past 20 years, every year I've been a priest, I have dedicated all of my Sunday sermons during the month of October to preaching pro-life, to preaching about that third pillar of the Catechism of the Catholic Church, life in Christ. For 20 years, we have been reflecting on what it means to be pro-life, what it means to live in Christ Jesus, who is himself the way, the truth, and the life. In his second letter to St. Timothy, St. Paul writes, "Preach the word, be persistent, whether it is convenient or inconvenient. Convince, reprimand, and encourage everyone through patience and sound doctrine." This passage from Sacred Scripture from St. Paul's second letter to Timothy and the verses that follow, which are very important, have been my mission statement for the past 20 years of the October Pro-Life mini-series. My vocation is to be persistent in preaching the good news of Jesus Christ in season and out of season, whether it is convenient or inconvenient, popular or unpopular. My vocation is to convince you to live in Christ Jesus, to reprimand those souls who are not living as Christ wants, and to encourage those souls who are living in Christ to never, ever give up or lose hope. All the while, St. Paul says, being persistent and patient with the weak, and teaching sound doctrine, sound Orthodox Catholic teaching. After 20 years of preaching the October Pro-Life miniseries, I sometimes feel like the prophet Jeremiah, who told us several weeks ago in the first reading, "I tell myself, I will not mention him. I will speak in his name no more." But then it becomes like a fire burning in my heart, imprisoned in my bones. I grow weary holding it in. I cannot endure it. Like Jeremiah, there is a part of me that does not want to go on preaching the Catholic Church's beautiful teaching about the dignity of every human life. But then the truth and love of Jesus Christ is like a fire burning in my heart. I can't hold it in any longer. As St. Paul says, the love of Christ compels me. I must go on preaching the word in season and out of season, whether popular or unpopular. Why? Because as the prophet Ezekiel told us a few weeks ago, if you do not speak out to dissuade the wicked from his way, I will hold you responsible for his death. God will hold me responsible if I do not go on preaching life in Christ, in season and out of season, whether popular or unpopular. My good friend, Pope St. John Paul II, gives me hope and inspiration. When I finished college seminary and began my studies at the Pontifical University of St. Thomas Aquinas, St. John Paul II wrote this beautiful encyclical letter, Veritatis Splendor, the splendor of truth. Next year in 2018, we will observe the 25th anniversary since the promulgation of Veritatis Splendor on the Feast of the Transfiguration. You can see my copy. It is well used. It has all kinds of holy cards. It's well underlined. It's a beautiful, beautiful document. If you have some extra time this week, you could Google this on the Vatican website. Veritatis Splendor. It's a stunning document. But just read, if you have limited time, just read paragraphs 102 and 103. It's the heart of the whole letter. 102 and 103. St. John Paul II says that man's history of sin begins when he no longer acknowledges the Lord as his creator and himself wishes to be the one who determines with complete independence from God what is good and what is evil. That's Adam and Eve's problem, wasn't it? Adam and Eve's first sin was that they said, I will decide what is good and what is evil. You can't tell me what to do. I will decide what trees I can eat from and what trees I can't eat from. John Paul II says, this is our original sin. When we decide what is good and what is evil. And of course we know that only Almighty God can decide what is good and evil, right and wrong. Pope St. John Paul II is so in touch with the human condition. In those paragraphs, 102 and 103, he says and acknowledges that doing what is good and true and beautiful is often very, very difficult. Talk about being in touch with the human condition. He says, keeping God's law in particular situations can be difficult, extremely difficult, but never impossible. He says, temptations can be overcome, sins can be avoided, because together with the commandments, the Lord gives us the possibility of keeping them. It is possible, he says. It may be difficult, very difficult, but not impossible. Why? And he gives the reason in this beautiful, stunning section as he begins paragraph 103. I have it starred in my edition. He says, it is the saving cross of Jesus Christ in the gift of the Holy Spirit, in the sacraments which flow from the pierced side of the Redeemer, that believers find the grace and the strength always to keep God's holy law, even in the gravest of hardships. Beautiful. And so he says, it's not impossible to live in Christ. It is not impossible to live as Jesus asks us to live. Why? Because God helps us. He doesn't abandon us. He doesn't say, figure it out on your own. He gives us supernatural power. We call it grace in the sacraments, especially in confession and Holy Communion, so that we can keep God's holy law even in the greatest of hardships. We can do it, he says, with God's help. And in this stunning paragraph, he says, who are we talking about? He says, a man dominated by lust or a man redeemed by Christ? I can just hear St. John Paul II in my head. He says, we have been redeemed by Christ. Christ has redeemed us. You can just hear him say it, can't you? Christ has redeemed us. He saved us. And because we have been saved by Jesus Christ, we can live in Christ. Because we have been redeemed by Christ, we can change our lives. Isn't that the point of today's gospel? Sinners who change their lives. Isn't that the point of today's gospel? When we've disobeyed the will of the Father and said to the Father, no, like a stubborn child, we can change our minds and say yes to God. If we've said no, we have the ability to change and say yes. In this part of the Bible, it's so beautiful. You saw the Spanish translation, which is, pero se arrepentió y fue. Se arrepentió, which literally means, and he repented, which is exactly what the Latin Vulgate says. Even better in the Latin, which says, modus penitentia abiit, literally moved to repentance, he went. Wow. Moved with repentance. That's more than just a changing of your mind. That's a changing of your heart. Will we change our minds and hearts this October? That's the point of the October Pro-Life mini-series, that we would change our minds and our hearts. Will you be moved to repentance this October? Will you say yes to the will of the Father? Because the promise for those who repent and do the Father's will is absolutely glorious. Thus says the Lord, if the wicked man turns from the wickedness he has committed and does what is right and just, he shall preserve his life. Since he has turned away from all the sins that he has committed, he shall surely live. He shall not die.